Hey friend, Graham Cochran here. Thank you so much for downloading this audio training where I'm going to teach you how to get paid to do what you love. And in this free audio training, like I promised, we're going to discover the three steps to pivot into the business or work you were meant for and get paid handsomely for it. And that is no exaggeration. I want this to be substantive and actionable for you. I'm honored to have a few moments of your time. I don't know if you're listening to this in your car while you commute to or from work, or if you're listening to this on headphones while you do the dishes or clean up your house like I tend to do, or if maybe the kids are down for a nap, so you've got a few moments, or maybe you're on a lunch break at work. Wherever you are, and however you're listening to this, I'm honored to have your ear, to have some of your time. I promise to deliver you some valuable content. I don't believe in fluff. I don't want to waste your time because that's the problem. We don't have a lot of time to waste. So we are going to get into some good, good stuff here today. And my goal is to help you today. Before we begin, though, just a few important thoughts that I want to lay out to qualify what I mean when I say get paid to do what you love. Because there's a lot of feely, touchy-feely stuff out there. And I don't really want to be that kind of resource. I want to be a substantive resource. But this is a really important topic, and that's why I wanted to give you this audio training. Doing work that you love matters. It matters for a couple reasons. One, because in order to be successful, you need to do excellent work sustained over a long time. That's the formula for success, by the way. Doing excellent work sustained over a long period of time. Not everybody can do that. A lot of people can do excellent work for a day, for a week, for a month, maybe a year. But it is very hard, if not impossible, to do excellent work over decades. In fact, the only way I think you can do this is if you are doing work you truly believe in. Otherwise, you'll just give up. So I want you to hang in there for 40, 50 years, but you have to do work that you love to be able to sustain excellent work. Otherwise, you'll become lazy, you'll put in the bare minimum, and you'll never be successful because people who do the bare minimum don't move up. They don't get opportunities, and we know this. So instead of forcing yourself to be excellent at something you hate, why don't we just do work that you're better fit for so that you can be excellent, so that you can find success because you're doing excellent work for a long period of time. Now, doing work you love matters also because the world needs what you have to offer. I want you to hear this. The world needs what you have to offer. If you don't realize your work potential, it's not just you who suffers. It's not just your family that suffers, but it's the hundreds and thousands of people who you could be impacting. Think about this. I'm all for helping you. That's why this website exists. That's why I'm spending my time doing this. I want to help you. I want to help you have more freedom to do work that matters, to make more money, to be able to have an impact, to be creative. But I know that this is bigger than just you. My business is bigger than just me. You finding work that you are the right fit for and fulfilling the potential the way you were designed, the way you were gifted, this has more to do with the rest of the world than it does you. Because good work and good business is all about serving other people and impacting people. So if you can find the work that you love, you can have a massive impact in the world. You may not be a Fortune 500 company. You might just be a micro business, a solopreneur. You can impact hundreds and thousands of people. And if you just are doing work that you kind of hate, you feel like you need to do, you're afraid to step out, afraid to pivot, and you never do the work you're meant to do, it's not just you who suffers. It's really all those people that you could be impacting. So I want you to think about that. Doing what you love has an impact on the rest of the world as well. And final thought before we dive into the three steps is full disclosure here. People who are brave enough to pivot into work that they love usually don't make a lot of money right away, okay? I am not promising you that you're going to reach your financial goals or your income goals or your business goals immediately after listening to this audio training. I can't promise that for you for a couple reasons. One, money never comes quickly. If it does, it usually doesn't end well, okay? Secondly, I have no control over what you do. Your income, your success, it is dependent on you taking action. I can point you in the right direction. I can tell you what steps to skip, what steps to take. I can share with you all the mistakes I've made. I can share with you the formulas that I know that work, but I can't make you do anything. And even if you do all the right things, it takes time to earn an income. Do you know that when I started my business, The Recording Revolution, we were on food stamps and struggling to make ends meet for 18 months. And I was working at this full time. I'm a slow learner for one. I didn't have a lot of the resources that exist today for two. But three, it just takes time to build something that's going to sustain for the long haul. It takes time to do something well and earn a good living from it. But all that work gets you disproportionate results in the end, because once the momentum picks up, income can skyrocket much faster than you can work. Okay? But full disclosure, A, it takes courage to pivot into the work that you love, and B, you're not going to make a lot of money right away. So just wanted to put that out there. But I believe in these three steps, and I want you to do the work you love, because I know you will get paid handsomely for it, and you will be excellent and sustaining that for a long, long time, and your life will be impacted and the rest of the world will be impacted. All right? Okay, so you ready to jump into the steps? I see your head nodding. Let's do this. Step one to doing the work you love and getting paid to do what you love is to find the intersection of your passion and value. Finding the intersection of your passion and value. Here is the dirty little secret. No one gets paid just to do what they love. It's just not that simple. Okay? I love watching football. No one's paying me to watch football. Okay? I love reading books about investing and money and business growth. No one's paying me to read those books. I love laying on the beach. No one's paying me to lay on the beach. You see what I'm saying? It's not as simple as, oh, just do what you love and you'll get paid, right? I'm kind of joking, all right? Those are more recreational activities. You might like to do random work. Like, you might be really good at ironing clothes. No one's going to really pay you to iron clothes. I suppose you can open a dry cleaners and take care of people's shirts. So there might be a way to do that. But that leads me to the real secret about doing what you love and getting paid for it. What you love has to offer immense value to other people. If you don't get anything out of this training, I want you to get this concept. That's why this step is the first step, because most people don't even take this step. They skip ahead to other steps, and none of those matter if you don't get this right. You have to find what you like, what you're good at, what you're passionate about, what you love, but then that has to intersect with what offers immense value to someone else. Because we only get paid when we offer value. Value is the secret here. The businesses that are successful because they offer immense value to a lot of people. The employees that find success and get raises and get promoted are the employees that offer immense value to other people. Okay? So here's what you got to do. You need to brainstorm a list of things that you like to do, topics that you have massive interest in, and skills and talents that you are really good at. Okay, we want to start there. So forget value for a second and just start with where you probably want to start, which is, what do you like? What are you good at? What are you interested in? What skills and talents do you have? So literally, I want you to write those things down. Not right now. I want you to listen to this training, but I want you to write these things down. I'm going to give you some action steps at the end, so don't worry. I'm going to give you some homework. But it has to start with what you're good at, what you like. Some good questions to ask to help you create this list if you feel like you're getting stuck are, what comes easy to me? What comes easy to me? You might have to do some digging, because what comes easy to you might be something you skip over. But just because it comes easy to you doesn't mean it comes easy to everyone else. What comes easy to you? Another question to ask yourself is, what do people say I'm good at? What if people literally come up to you and said, man, you're really good at this? What have I helped people do in the past? If you've ever helped somebody with something on the weekend, or a friend or a family member, and you help them out with something, what is it that you've helped them to do? Here's another good question. If I had a Saturday afternoon completely free, what would I spend hours reading about? What is that topic or topics that, if you literally had hours with nothing you had to do, what would you get on and look blog posts about? What magazines would you read? What books would you read? Who are you following on Twitter that you would read all their stuff? What topic is that? The topic is what I'm trying to get to in that question. Okay. So now you have a list of some things maybe that you're good at, some things that you're interested in, some things that come easy to you. You get those written down. That's great and all, but what we need to do is filter those through the lens of value. So we want to now brainstorm which of these passions, skills, knowledge that you have would actually be valuable to other people. And what people specifically would find them valuable? Okay, so you're looking at your skills, you're looking at your interests, you're looking at what you're good at, you're looking at what you topics you're interested in, and then filtering them down to which of these would actually help people, be valuable to people. And who are those people? Now, this requires research. And this is why a lot of people don't pivot into business. They don't do work they love because it actually takes some work. And honestly, most people are just lazy. And if you're not lazy, it's that you're just too busy and too tired and you don't want it bad enough to make the effort. And I get that. I get that. I'm lazy. I'm not trying to call you out because I'm calling myself out too. It takes effort. Okay. Like I said at the beginning, if this were easy, everyone would be doing this. If business were easy, everyone would have an awesome business. If pivoting into the work you love were easy, everyone would be doing work they love. But they're not, because it's not easy and it takes courage. I know you've got the courage to do this. You're taking next steps. You're listening to this audio training, but I want you to do the work required. So research. What does this research look like? It starts with simple things like social media. Just interact with people on social media. Ask them questions. Ask them questions based off of what you've narrowed down, what you think you're interested in, what you think you're good at, but you think people might find valuable. Ask. Ask them on social media. Ask your family members. Would something like this be valuable to you? Ask your friends. If there's a topic that you think you're really interested in starting a business on, ask people questions about that topic and see what kind of conversations come up. There's two big questions you can ask relating to each topic that you're considering that I think will really help you discover, A, if there's a need there and a potential niche there you can fill, and specifically, how to move in that direction. These are the two questions you need to ask. What is your biggest hope or dream related to blank? So for example, if I thought, man, I'm really interested in personal finance. I'm really good at it. I'm good at managing my money, investing, and I think I could help people with their money and help them. And I know a lot of people struggle in that area. I could ask people online or ask my family members or friends like, hey, what's your biggest hope or dream related to, you know, your money, related to your financial goals, and see what people say. A, is there interest? Do people are they very forthcoming with information? Like, oh my gosh, I just always wanted to be able to take this trip to Greece, but I'll never be able to afford it because I got bills and that would be a win for me. Or, oh, I just really wish I could put my kids through college. I never went to college and I don't want them to go to college with student loans. And that would just be a huge win for me. Be curious to know what is their biggest hopes and dreams related to that topic. And then the second question is, what is your current biggest frustration related to blank? So I could ask the same question about people's money. So what's your biggest frustration right now with money? And if people are like, well, I feel like I work and work and work and money comes in, but it always goes out. I'm never getting ahead. I'm just sort of staying even. And I feel like my whole working life is going to go by. I'm going to have nothing to show for it. That'd be interesting to know. You're learning what people basically are asking for. You're learning what they need and what they want. And if it's crickets, if no one really is responding, maybe you have a topic that people really don't care about. Maybe it's not valuable. You see what we're doing here? We're doing some research, just regular questions periodically on social media. Don't make this like a, hey, I'm starting a business and I'd like to interview you. Just be a normal person. Just start to engage. This is helping you narrow down your list to find what of those things that you like, you're good at, people say you're good at, you're interested in, what of that initial list can stand after you filter away all the stuff that doesn't have value to people. What one or two or three of those things is something that actually you like and are good at and actually other people would find valuable as well. And this process can take a while, okay? So be patient. Make it a game. Treat it like important work. If you can figure out step one and do this well, there's nothing you can't do, okay? But without this step, you're never going to get a profitable business. You're never going to get paid to do what you love, and you're always going to get frustrated, and you might become jaded that it's just not possible for you. And that would be a misnomer. It is possible for you. You just have to do your homework. Okay, let's talk about step two. Step two into pivoting into the work you love and getting paid for it is becoming a content creator. This is the name of the game. It has been in the last 10, 15 years, and it will most certainly be the name of the game moving forward. It's only ever more important. What do I mean about being a content creator? I really mean developing an audience, okay? Content is just the way to develop the audience. Here's the truth about business. Without an audience, nothing is possible. Doesn't matter how great your product is, your service, if the price is amazing, how great you are. Doesn't matter. If you don't have an audience, nothing is possible. But with one, anything is possible. This is the difference maker. If you want a business to be successful, you need an audience. The good news is that audience building, aka getting people's attention, is easier than ever before. This is literally the best time in the history of the world to build a business. There are so many tools and resources available to you to build a group of people, a tribe, to get eyeballs, to get an audience, to get attention than ever before. It's incredible. The secret, though, to building an audience is very simple. You need to create content that the right people want to consume. Okay? Audiences don't just come to you for no reason. They don't just give you their attention. Why? Well, because they're busy. Their attention is already spread out over a million things. Your potential customers are already raising kids, going to work, going to school, dealing with finances, trying to have fun with their friends, trying to sleep. Do you see what I'm saying? They're busy. And on top of that, they're wasting hours on social media, getting lost on the internet. There's so many things, entertainment, just vying for our time and our attention. They're not going to come give you their attention. You have to earn their attention. And the way you do this is by giving them content that they actually want to consume so that they actually see you as a content resource. Now, what do I mean by content? Content can be a lot of things. It can be blog posts, it can be videos, or even just social media posts. The platforms are going to continue to change. So right now it might be a WordPress blog, or it might be a YouTube video, or it might be an Instagram post, or it might be a Facebook Live, or it might be something on Snapchat. Okay? The platform's going to come, platforms are going to go. That doesn't really matter. The medium's going to come, the medium's going to go. That doesn't really matter. What matters is that it's content that people want. Now, content can be information, all right? A good example of this for me, the recording revolution. There's content that I make every week. It is articles and videos teaching people how to record music, how to make it sound good. That's information. That is free content that I'm giving out that people want to consume. Content could also be entertainment. This is the name of the game for YouTube. The biggest YouTube content creators are the ones who are either creating funny videos or playing video games. Yes, some people watch other people play video games. Playing video games, but talking about the video games, giving hilarious commentary about the video games or about anything else while they play. It's purely entertainment. People consume that content almost more than anything. Other content could also be behind the scenes of your life. People love to know how other people live their lives, especially people they're interested in. So kind of showing behind the scenes of how you do life with your kids, what work looks like, how you run your business, if you're on a cool vacation. I mean, people are obsessed with behind the scenes. Okay? So content can look like a lot of different things, but the key is you need to create content that people want to consume, get people's attention, grow an audience. Because even if you know what you're good at and what people find valuable, you can't sell anything or make any money or get paid to do anything unless you have an audience. And the audience building is so, so important. Now, the two keys to content creation are value and consistency. Okay, value and consistency. You got to ask yourself, if I know who this audience is around my passion, my skill, what I'm interested in, what would my audience find valuable? And if you're creating a piece of content, ask yourself, would my audience find this valuable? Okay, you always have to be asking yourself that. Then commit to a consistent rhythm of content output. Consistency is so, so important, probably more than quantity. I think people get hung up on this. Oh, I got to post every day. Some people post multiple times a day. No, quantity isn't as important as consistency. Okay. Committing to a consistent rhythm of output. Now, this does not have to be, again, lots of consistency, like every week, I mean, multiple times a week. You can just shoot for once a week if you're doing like a blog post or a video. I've even seen it done well once every 2 weeks with a very good post, a very good video, very substantive. But at the minimum, I think once a week is a good thing to shoot for if you're creating content. If it's social media, you can do it probably a little bit faster. So you can probably do a few times a week if you want to. But what I would say to you is think about what kind of content would be valuable to your audience. What would they like to consume? Funny stuff, entertaining stuff, information, behind the scenes, motivation. What would they find valuable? Create a variety of lists of the types of content you can make, and then decide in your head, what kind of rhythm can I commit to with my busy life? You know, you might work 9 to 5, you might come home and have kids and a spouse and cleaning your house. So you might be very full, have a full life, be very busy. So in your real life, what could you commit to? Is it just one thing a week? And you can write it on Saturday mornings or Monday evenings. Is it 2 social media posts that are valuable to your audience a week? When can you create those? I want you to sit down, look at your calendar, and actually find out what's realistic for you. Because here's the problem. A lot of people get really excited and they get really, they overinflate what's possible for them. And so they're posting every day or 2 times a week. And after a month of that, they burn out. They crash. They can't keep up. Anybody can do anything for a few weeks. I mean, just look at January, right? Everybody's at the gym in January, and come February, most of those people are gone. No one can really commit to some of those things indefinitely. So I'd rather you be realistic and find a rhythm you can commit to, because the way to build an audience is to consistently deliver value week in and week out. So if once a week is all you can do, do once a week. Forget the people that are doing every day. If you can't do it, don't do it. Just do once a week if you can commit to it, so that 2 years from now, you're still able to put out something once a week. That's how you build an audience, is when they can depend on you and realize this person is constantly putting out content. If they see you put out a bunch of great content and then it's crickets for a couple of months, the audience is going to dry up. Just like a good TV show, they need to know and count on it coming on every single Wednesday night at 9 p.m. or whatever it is, right? They need to know it's there every week. If a great show came out every night for 3 weeks and then disappeared, people would forget about it, okay? It's the same with you. People are going to forget about you unless you are regularly in their world. So commit to something you can actually commit to. Make sense? So if in step one, we've found the intersection of what we're good at, what we love, what we're passionate about, what we know a lot about, and intersected that with what would be valuable to people, huge step. If step two, we've committed to building an audience by becoming a content creator, figuring out what kind of content we can make, figuring out who we're making it for, and figuring out where in our schedule we can make it regularly, so that over time, we're building a larger and larger audience, whether it's on our YouTube channel, a blog, social media, whatever, we're building an audience. Step three is where the money comes, okay? You might be asking, Graham, when do we do the making of the money? Right? So, so important, because you can have an audience and you can be adding a ton of value to people, but not make a dime. And this is also a place where people go wrong. They're all about massive audiences, 1 million followers on YouTube or social media, but they can't turn it into a business. Having a massive following doesn't guarantee you'll have income. Okay? Without a big following, it's hard to get income. Without an audience, it's almost impossible to get income. But just because you have an audience doesn't mean you will naturally have money, right? There's this third step. We have to monetize your audience. That is step three, monetize your audience. And this is where actually most business coaching or training starts. They start here at step three. I mean, you get on Google and you look at articles right now on how to start a business, or you download training, or you even pay for courses. A lot of them will start here with how to monetize. And they'll show you all the ways you can make money and all the ways to increase your prices and to increase conversions and better sales copy. And that's backwards. It's just backwards. We can't ever start with the making of the money. Even though that's where you want to start, you can never start there. Good businesses don't start there. They start with value. How can I add value? Who am I adding value to? How can I build an audience? Then monetizing makes sense. Okay. And that's why I've made it the third step, not the first step. Now, there are a lot of ways to monetize. I'm going to share with you six. Okay. And I'm going to share with you also my favorites and then give you some more tips on how to do this well. Once you have an audience, honestly, the two easiest ways to monetize are through advertising and affiliate marketing. Okay. Advertising, a good example of this is you've got massive blogs or massive channels on YouTube that once they have a massive audience, people will pay them to run ads on their website or to run ads in front of their videos because they know there's lots of eyeballs. So if there is a YouTube channel that has 2 million followers, you for sure are going to see ads at the beginning, little commercials before the video plays. And that advertiser is basically giving the content creator a cut of something because they're saying, let me pay you for your audience's eyeballs because I want to sell a product. You've got an audience, so they're paying you. So you can get paid just to have an audience basically by allowing ads to be at the beginning of your video, or if you have a massive blog, putting ads on your website for relevant products or relevant companies. You can literally get paid by advertisers. Okay, and I've done this before. I've had sponsors on my site in the past where they would pay me multiple thousands of dollars to run an ad campaign where they just put a banner ad on my site and I get paid for literally doing nothing, for just having eyeballs. And it's an easy way to make money once you have an audience, okay? Another one related to that is affiliate marketing. This means, again, once you have an audience, you can market other people's products by running an ad yourself for someone else's product where if they make a sale, then you get a cut of that sale. For example, you might see people with Amazon links on their site. So if they recommend a book or a product, they might say, you know, buy it on Amazon. And what they're sending you to is an affiliate link where if you end up buying that book or that product that you recommend or whatever on your site, Amazon gets a cut, of course, because they're the ones selling it, but they give you a cut of it because you help them make the sale. So you can make money just for recommending products or things that you use. And if your audience buys through your link, you get paid even though you don't have a product. You didn't have to deliver the product. You didn't have to handle the customer requests or refunds. You don't have to do anything. You just have eyeballs, and so you can make money off affiliate marketing. This is a massive audience for people. There are blogs right now that do millions of dollars a year in selling other people's products very passively by having affiliate links on their site or affiliate ads. So again, these are the two easiest ways because you don't have to have any product or service of your own. You can just use your audience to help people make money, aka advertisers or your affiliates, and then you get paid handsomely for it. Now, the downside for these two ways is you don't make a lot of money until you have a ton of web traffic or a massive audience. You can have a good size audience. Like I have a good size audience on YouTube. And I make some money in advertising, but it's not enough to pay my bills alone. You know what I'm saying? So it is a piece of the puzzle for me, but not a very big piece. But it is possible. You just have to have a massive audience. So it's both easy because it's easy to pull off, but it takes a lot of traffic. Now, another successful model is using something like a crowdfunding platform. For example, Patreon. So Patreon is a cool site that is like Kickstarter, but on a monthly basis for content creators. So instead of raising money one time for a big thing, you're raising money on a regular basis for ongoing content. So for example, you might make a video on YouTube and you have your fans who say, I'll support you by giving you $1 or $5 every time you put out a video. And you might give them a little goodie like a shout out or a bonus video or whatever. But really, they're just saying, I want to support you and be a patron of yours. And I'll give you a dollar every time you put out a video or a piece of content. And if you had a lot of people, if all your audience is supporting you with a dollar or $5 per piece of content, you can have a regular stream of income. One of my good friends is Peter Hollins. He's a talented singer, talented producer also, but he got famous on YouTube for doing a cappella covers of pop songs. And he has millions of followers on YouTube. He's gotten a record deal and he's been on TV shows, but he makes his living primarily by doing cool covers of other people's songs, going out and filming very high production, high value music videos, and putting those videos out for free on YouTube. This takes money, time, a whole crew. It takes them a lot of work to make these videos, and he gives them out for free. But he has patrons on Patreon who pay him, you know, $1, $2, $5, $10 every time he puts out a music video. And he makes a good living paying all his bills, his mortgage, everything, helping with his family, just for putting out free videos through a crowdfunding platform like Patreon. Now, two classic monetization models are offering a service or consulting. Okay? These are number 4 and 5. Offering a service or consulting. So if you have a loyal audience, then you can charge a premium to offer them a direct service or consulting for two reasons. One, they already know you, they already trust you, and they like you. Plus, you've proven to them through your free content that you can help them. So if you are delivering, let's say, like in my example, helpful information on how to record music, how to mix music, how to get better sounding recordings. I've given free, helpful content. People have gotten to know me. They trust me. They like me. I've proven to them that I can help them. So then if I offer a service of how, I'm going to go ahead and redo everything for you, record everything for you, or mix your music. Maybe you've recorded it, then hand it over for me to mix it. They will pay me to do that service because they know me. They like me. They trust me. Let's say I'm teaching, you know, marketing, and I've been able to teach you how to do marketing and shown you that I know what I'm talking about with marketing. You've consumed my information on marketing, but you still don't feel like you're able to implement the marketing for your business. If I were to offer consulting on marketing and say, look, I have some consulting service where I can help you with your marketing, you're more than likely going to pay me because you trust me, you know me, you like me, you've seen what I've had to offer before. All that content that I've been giving my audience has been the proof in the pudding that I can help you. So people are willing to pay me to consult you with your business, let's say, and give you marketing advice that's tailored to your business. So these are two simple things. If you are doing any kind of freelance work, this is what you're doing. You're freelancing either a service or a consulting. And this is a great business model because you can just move from client to client. You don't need a product. You don't need advertising. You can just work directly with people and coach them, do consulting, offer a service that you can do something for them. It's very simple to do. You set your rates, you find a target market, you serve them well, and then you just get referrals and this process rinses and repeats. I've recorded and mixed bands for years. That's a service-based business that I've had for years. It's a great business to have. And you can probably leverage your skills and your knowledge into a service-based business or a consulting business. Now, the sixth and final monetization model that I'm going to share with you today, I think is the holy grail of monetization. It's my personal favorite, and it's products. Okay, now this is because with the product, you no longer have to trade your time for money. This is a game changer. There is a limit to how many clients you can take. There's a limit also to how much you can charge, although it's probably a lot higher than you think it is. Most people undercharge, by the way, but we'll save that for another day. There's still a limit to how much you can charge and how many clients you can take at one time, but there is no limit to how much product you can sell. Okay, products, they could be physical or digital. They could be expensive or affordable. Doesn't really matter. All can be successful just as long as they are something that your audience finds valuable. Okay, it goes back to value. Once you have a product that your audience finds valuable, there is no limit to how many items you can sell or how much you can sell. This is the best model for most people long term because this is what's going to free you up to be able to increase your income without increasing your work hours. So if you want more income without increasing your hours, products are going to be the way to do it. If you want the same amount of income but work half the time, products are going to be the way to do it. Okay, it's the same thing. So whether more money or more time or both is what you desire, products are going to help you get there. So I really recommend you have them, if not the backbone of your business, at least part of your business. Now, I personally make my living doing a combination of all six of these monetization models. You don't have to just pick one or two. I use all six. Okay. I do advertising. I do affiliate marketing from time to time. I use Patreon. I offer services. I offer consulting and I offer products. Now, I'll be honest, products are the largest by far part of my revenue and they're my favorite. And that's probably why I've worked very hard at my product offering and I've scaled it up. So I believe in products, but I also know that products are what have set me free to be able to do something like this, to give me the time to make this audio training for you absolutely free. This takes time, okay? It's my products that are being sold right now while I record this for you. It's those products that are putting money in my bank account while I sleep so that I don't have to work every single day. I don't have to work full days every day. I can take some of my days to do something like this that I think is fun, that I genuinely feel called to help people with. Even though I'm not getting paid for this training, I can offer it to you for free because I'm getting paid elsewhere because my products are being sold for my business. Make sense? Now, I want to give you a bonus guide, something to help you out even further. I want to break down some examples of how these models would work. So check your inbox when you get a moment. I've sent you an additional guide that I'm calling the simple math of making $5K a month. Okay, the simple math of making $5,000 per month. Check your inbox. I've already sent it to you. In this guide, I'm breaking down multiple scenarios or multiple paths, if you were, to earning upwards of $5,000 a month, which is the same as $60,000 a year. I chose that number because that's just above the median income for households in America right now as I tape this. So if you wanted to replace an entire household income, how could you do that? And so I've broken down a service-based business example of how you could get to 5K, what the math is, a consulting business example, and then even selling products. Now, these are just examples. But again, I think seeing the math plainly in front of you is very powerful. I think it will become more real for you and help you feel that it's a little bit more possible for you. And I don't want you to be overwhelmed by the numbers if you're like, oh, Graham, how am I going to make that many sales or how am I going to be able to charge that amount per hour? All of this is a lot simpler than you think it is, but it's important for you to see the simple math. So you're like, how would I make $5,000 a month off this new business? Well, if you break it down into smaller chunks, you can see it's only certain number of clients or certain number of hours a day. I break it all down for you. So once you see what's possible, and these are all real possible examples, then you might be a little bit more encouraged to actually follow through and do this. So check your inbox. That bonus guide is already sent to you. It's my gift to you to thank you for downloading this training. Now, some closing thoughts and then some homework, some action steps for you. Look, nothing is going to change for you unless you take action. You have already proven to yourself and to me that you are a person who takes action. You downloaded this training. You didn't have to. You could have just said, that's nice, but it's not possible for me. No, you downloaded it. Not only did you download it, you've listened to it. You've put in 30 minutes of your time to listen to this guy ramble on this, okay? You've put in the time because you desperately want to know what's possible for you. So you have taken action. I just want to encourage you to keep taking action because money doesn't just come flowing to you. If it did, that would be sweet. It just doesn't. No one's going to magically give you money for even doing what you love, okay? It just doesn't happen. You must find a way to add value to people's lives. This is the bedrock of everything. Serving people is how business is done. Serving people is how you get wealthy. Serving people is how you build a business that frees your time so you have flexibility and space to do the things you love and to be with the people you love. So ironically, if you want what you want, you have to think about what other people want. finding ways to add value to people's lives. Then and only then can you begin to monetize what you know and love. Very, very important. And realistically, this will take time. But the good news is you can start today without needing to quit your day job, okay? I don't recommend you go out and quit your day job just to do this. I started my business not because I quit my day job, but because I was let go because the business became insolvent. It was during the recession and I had no choice. I was told, hey, we're out of money, can't pay you, go home. So I had lots of time to work on this and it still took me a long time. It should not take you as long as me because you know more than I did. You have this resource. You have my entire site. I'm spending time to create the resource for you that I wish existed when I started my business. But it's still going to take you time. So the good news, though, is that you can start some of these action steps I'm about to share with you today. You can work it into your schedule today so that you can slowly build this thing up, doing your research, finding out what works, testing the waters, building your audience. You can do it all while keeping your steady paycheck, let's say right now, and then transition. Okay, so let's break down four action steps for you. Number one, here's your homework. I want you to find 30 minutes a day in your schedule to work on this. Okay? This is something that John Acuff calls the 30-minute rule to awesomeness. And I think it's very helpful. When you think about how many hours you want to put into your business each week, it just gets overwhelming. You know, oh, I'd love to put in 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week. That can be exciting at first. Overwhelming in the long run, because the week's going to come, my friend, where you're not going to have 5 hours. The week's going to come where when you think about the words 5 hours that you have to spend on this other thing other than your work and your life and your family, you're going to be like, no, I don't care enough. I don't care enough. I'm not seeing the rewards enough, and you're going to quit. I don't want you to quit. So instead of thinking about hours, thinking about minutes. It's all psychological, but it really helps. Think about 30 minutes. All you got to do is find 30 minutes every day in your schedule. That's it, 30 minutes a day. That could mean waking up 30 minutes earlier so that in your morning routine, whenever you are awake, you have an extra 30 minutes to work on this. It could mean staying up 30 minutes later. It could mean shortening your lunch break by 30 minutes. Maybe you only get a 30-minute lunch break, okay? So maybe you work on your lunch break. Maybe it means you become a top performer at work, so that you can work out a deal where you're able to take off work 30 minutes earlier every day or come into work 30 minutes later because you've proven to your boss that you can kill it and actually get the same amount done in 30 minutes less, which is very easy, by the way. More content on that later. It's much easier to get work done in less time than you think. But step number one for you is I want you to find 30 minutes a day in your schedule to work on this and literally mark it off in your schedule. Okay, action step number two is start a Google Doc for your new business or Microsoft Word or Evernote, however you like to keep things down. But I love Google Docs because they're free and easy and transportable. Start a Google Doc for your new business and write at the top of this doc how much money you would need to make minimum to replace your day job or basically to pay your bills. What is the dollar amount or whatever your currency is minimum that you would need to be able to keep your bills paid so that basically nothing really changes. Not saying to replace all your income, like if you're eating out at restaurants or going to the movies or anything fun, that's not your bare necessities, okay? But if you lost your job today, what's the dollar amount that you would need to keep your bills paid, your rent, your mortgage, electricity, water, groceries, insurance premiums, just your car payment, whatever it is, your credit card bill, what's the minimum dollar amount that you would need to keep everything flowing and you not really move backwards at all financially just to stay afloat? That's probably a smaller number than you think. If you really are honest with yourself and you scrape out all the fat and all the stuff that you waste money on or spend money on things that you enjoy but don't necessarily need, I want you to find out what that minimum monthly amount is and write that at the top of your new business doc. This is going to be your new financial target. Forget six figures. Forget $1 million. Forget even $60,000 a year if that's more than you need. What is that minimum amount? Is it $2,000 a month? Is it $3,000 a month? Is it $5,000 a month? Figure it out and write it down at the top and say, my minimum financial target is this amount per month. And I think monthly amounts is important. Who cares about yearly? That's arbitrary. We live our lives on a month-to-month basis. We pay our bills month-to-month. So think about a monthly financial target that is the minimum to keep you afloat. Action step three. You've figured out what 30 minutes each day you're going to use to work on this. You've created your Google Doc and figured out what that minimum monthly target's going to be financially. Number three is to begin brainstorming and researching and following the three steps you just learned today. Brainstorming your interests and passions, what you know, what you love, what you're good at, what you've been able to help people with, what comes easy to you, all those things. And then filtering them through the value lens. Doing your research on social media, talking to friends, talking to family members. Finding out what would actually help people. What do people actually want? What do they actually need? And is there an intersection between what people would find valuable and what you love? That takes time, but you need to do those steps. And then step two and three, which are then once you find that, building that audience by creating regular content, using your 30 minutes once you've done the research each day to work on your content, build that audience. And then eventually step three, find which way you're going to monetize or which ways you're going to monetize that audience. This is all business is, by the way. This is what I do. 8 years into my business, I'm still doing this. I'm still brainstorming what I'm good at, what I love, researching, interacting with people regularly, finding out what they would find valuable, using that to tailor my content strategy, growing my audience every week. And then finding ways to monetize that audience based off of what people find valuable. You never stop doing this, by the way. This is an ongoing process. And that is why action step four is rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Just like good hair products, good shampoo and conditioner, you rinse it out and repeat. This is the formula. There's nothing complicated. There's nothing really glamorous. But every good business I know, every profitable business I know goes through these steps, and they're constantly doing them. That is it, my friend. Those are the three steps to pivot into the work or business that you were meant for and how to get paid handsomely for it. This is the beginning of a journey for you. And if you're just starting out, I want you to buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride. It's not going to be easy. And I will never promise you that it's easy. But I am here to coach you. I'm here to help you to see success, however you define that, for your business, for your work. So I'm pulling for you, but I'm begging you to take action. Trust me, I've been there. I know what works. I'm doing this. I'm living this. I want you to join this journey with me because it will bless your life, but it will also bless the rest of the world. Because you doing the work you're meant to do, starting the business you were meant to start, will have massive impact by creating value to tons of people, and they will miss out if you don't get your hands dirty and get to work on this. Thank you for your time. Thank you for downloading this audio training. More great content over at grahamcochran.com. Again, check your inbox for that bonus guide on the simple math to making 5K per month. I think that will help you out as well. Again, a little bonus for you. Want to overdeliver, give you an extra goodie as my gift for you taking the time to listen to this training and go through these steps with me. Now, get back to whatever you're doing today. Have an amazing day. I hope to see you on future trainings. Until next time, my friend, take care.